Verse 11 of Luke chapter 2 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." I come to this message this afternoon because of an expression that I heard just a little time ago, and it was speaking of a nativity scene in which the infant Christ was laid in a stable surrounded by all of the various farm animals, and the expression was made, "There lies Mary's little lamb." I'm sure you've heard that expression, little children have been born, to describe them as just a little lamb. Well, I want to speak to you for a few moments this afternoon upon the subject of Mary's little lamb. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. That night in Bethlehem, a little lamb was born to Mary. Now, if you're familiar with the geography of the area, Bethlehem is just a little village south of the city of Jerusalem. I suspect none of us would ever have heard of Bethlehem if it had not been for the little lamb that had been born there on that night. But it's not by accident, and it's not an incidental thing. It had been prophesied for centuries. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, you can read it in chapter 5 and verse 2, the Lord speaking through his servant said, "That thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Out of all of the multitude of little villages scattered around the land, Bethlehem was chosen by the Lord to be the birthplace of the Son of God. So how fitting then that Mary's little lamb would be born in Bethlehem. For centuries, on the hills surrounding that little village, the priests of their religion raised the lambs for sacrifice. The shepherds that we read of a little later in the chapter were employed in that task. They were raising the sheep that would be used for the sacrifices in Jerusalem at the various feasts throughout the year. And there in the little town of Bethlehem, another lamb was being born. A different type of lamb altogether, but one that would be a sacrificial lamb in his own way in the days going forward. There lies God's perfect lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. How fitting then that he should be born in a stable. I want to look at the subject of this lamb as we find it throughout the scriptures. We don't have time to go into these subjects in great depth, but I want to give you an overview of how the subject is treated throughout the Word of God. That's why we read from Exodus chapter 12. If you're familiar with your Bibles, you know that the children of Israel are in the land of Egypt. And while they were once welcomed there with open arms, in recent times their welcome has worn off and they find themselves in bondage and in slavery to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he is a cruel taskmaster. And they find themselves under the whip and bondage of their Egyptian master. And their cry comes up unto the ears of God in heaven, and he is going to send a redeemer to them and set them free. God's plan is to release his people and to bring them then to the land of promise that he has given to them. What wonderful news that those who were slaves in Egypt are going to be delivered. And how is God going to deliver them? He's going to use a lamb. Out of all the creatures that God has created, there are none more gentle, more meek, more defenseless than a little lamb. It's got no fangs, it's got no claws, it can't run very fast, it cannot fight against its foes. It doesn't frighten anything. The only thing the lamb seems to say is, if you're hungry, eat me. If you're cold, shear me. Isaiah speaks of the lamb that presents itself for slaughter and before her shearers is dumb. And God says that I'm going to use a lamb to deliver you from Egypt. You know what the symbol for Egyptian power was in those days? It was a serpent. Pharaoh's crown had a serpent coiled around it. His scepter was a serpent coiled around. There's going to be a battle. It's a battle between the lamb and the serpent. A seemingly defenseless, gentle, weak and meek little lamb is going to go head to head with a venomous, poisonous, hissing serpent. And we're told something about this lamb in Exodus 12. It was to be a special lamb. It was to be a lamb without blemish, a male of the first year. They were to take it from out of the sheep or from the goats, and they were to bring it into their homes. Any blemish upon the lamb would disqualify it from use. And so the lamb was examined from head to tail. They check its ears, its eyes, its legs. Everything about it was examined to make sure that there was no deformity or sickness or blemish about it. And then the lamb was taken into their homes and remained there for 4 days. Of course, it's a reminder to us in days to come that Mary's lamb also would be without spot or without blemish. And this lamb that they've taken into their home, that no doubt has become a pet to the children of the house, this lamb, we're told, was to be taken and slain. You shall take of the blood of it and strike it upon the two side posts and upon the upper door post of the house. They were to take the lamb, the father of the house, and he would take his knife and he would slit the throat and he would catch the blood in a little basin. Another reminder to us that Mary's lamb in days to come would one day be butchered on a cruel Roman cross. And the blood that they gathered in the basin was to be taken and to be painted onto the doorpost of the house. It's a special lamb, yes. It would be a slain lamb, but it's going to be a saving lamb. Take the blood, paint it upon the lintel, the doorpost of the house. And the Lord tells us in the verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This little lamb, special and slain, would be for the saving of their houses. God says, take the blood, put it upon the doorpost of your house, so that everyone who comes into safety must come in under and through the blood. Only then will they be safe, because my angel of judgment, my death angel, is coming to the land. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But where there is no blood, then the judgment of God will fall. Now, you could have put many things on the doorpost of your house that night. You could have put pieces of poetry there, but it wouldn't have done any good. You could have encrusted the door with wonderful proverbs and wise sayings, but it wouldn't have saved you. You could have overlaid the door with gems and precious stones, but to no avail. You could have even taken the little lamb that you had brought into your house and set it outside your front of your house, but it would have never saved you. You see, our salvation does not come from the life of Christ, but through the death of Christ. It's not learning lessons from the life of our Savior, it's receiving life from the death of our Savior that saves us. God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Elsewhere, he reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of our sins. So the lamb was special, It was slain. It's a saving lamb and it's a assured lamb. They were to eat the flesh, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And they were to take it and eat it and share it with one another in the house. The roasting of the lamb, of course, speaks of the fires of wrath through which our Saviour passed in order to save us. And the sharing of the lamb speaks of those who have benefited from God's grace, taking it and sharing it with others around them. So we see something of a foundation in the Word of God where the lamb is introduced to us and the message of the gospel. I want to take it forward a little bit in history. So we've looked at the lamb in prophecy, the lamb in history. As we said, the Lord Jesus Christ, born as a babe in Bethlehem. We're told in the New Testament, in the book of John, where John the Baptist, seeing the Lord Jesus passing by, said to his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the one who would be given for the salvation of the world." John the Baptist knew that the babe who was once born in Bethlehem was indeed that Lamb of sacrifice. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament prophecies, we could say the same thing about him. He was a special lamb, a miracle lamb, born of the Virgin Mary in that little town of Bethlehem. Now you might say, "Pastor, I don't believe in the virgin birth. How could such a thing ever happen? It's a physical impossibility." I agree with you, it is. The Bible tells us that with God all things are possible. We're looking at something supernatural, not something natural. And the little babe that was born into Bethlehem that night is and was the eternal, uncreated, self-existing Word of God made flesh. The great I Am of the Old Testament has now become the Lamb of God in the New Testament. The infinite has become an infant. We might truly say that it was God that lay in the manger that night. And as the Son of God, the Lord Jesus comes to us without spot and without blemish. There's no sin in him. He was created without sin. He did no sin. He spoke no sin. He was pure and spotless in all his ways. A special lamb. And a sinless lamb. And it's a sinless lamb that we require if we are going to be saved from our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ came to be that lamb of sacrifice for us. It's quite interesting when you read through the New Testament, you come to that place in the scriptures that we sometimes refer to as Palm Sunday, in which the Saviour entered into the city of Jerusalem. Well, on the very same day when our Saviour was coming down the Mount of Olives and then ascending up into the Temple Mount, at the same time at which he was going through the Eastern Gate, the Passover lambs that had been raised in Bethlehem all year, ready for the day of sacrifice, they're coming through the sheep gate on the same day and pretty much at the same time as which our Saviour's coming into the city. Those lambs would be taken up onto the Temple Mount, and the priests would begin the examination process to make sure that they're going to be a perfect sacrifice. And at the same time as they're examining the lambs, and remember there are thousands and tens of thousands of them, at the same time, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to take away the sin of the world, has been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's been examined by the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians and the scribes, and then brought before the Roman officials of Pontius Pilate. And as they're examining him and nitpicking at him, trying to find some fault in him, eventually they come to the conclusion where Pontius Pilate said, "I find in him no fault at all." At the same time that the sheep from Bethlehem were being examined by the priests in preparation for the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, it becomes very obvious then that every charge leveled against our Saviour was a blasphemous lie, because he was the sinless lamb. But they took that sinless lamb and they brought him to Calvary. And they crucified him. And at 3 o'clock on that afternoon, the priests at the evening sacrifice were lifting up the chins of those Passover lambs, ready to cut their throats. At the very same time, the Lamb of God is hanging upon a cross. And he offers out this expression, those familiar words that are known to us now, "It is finished. It is finished. It's paid in full." And with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can turn now to the priests and say, "You can go home now. We don't need you any longer. We have no more time for your services." We can turn to the Levites and say, "We have finished with you." We can turn to the shepherds and say, "I'm sorry, but there's no more employment for you. We need no more lambs of sacrifice, because the Lamb of God has been slain." Remember what John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." It's the blood of Christ that makes atonement for us. It's the shedding of his blood that provides us with our remission of sins. There needed to be a sinless sacrifice, and there is only one who satisfies. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. No child of Adam could satisfy, because in Adam all die, the scriptures say. You see, from Adam we receive our sinful nature. We are all children of Adam. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. We need a Savior to deliver us. Why was the Lord Jesus Christ born of the Virgin Mary? So that the taint of Adam's sin did not become our Savior's. You see, the bloodline of each and every one of us comes from the Father. It's not established by the mother. It's established by the Father. It's quite a miracle, really, when you consider it, that the little babe inside the mother's womb, that the blood that circulates through that infant is its own blood. It's not the mother's blood. The mother can have a completely different blood type from the child. The bloodline comes from the Father. The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ was the Holy Ghost who came upon her. Mary was an earthly mother, but God was the Father. And the blood that flowed then through the veins of Mary's lamb was the very blood of God. I know what you're thinking. Isn't God a spirit? And a spirit has not flesh and blood. Well, I can't explain it, but I believe it because God said it. He said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, speaking of the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The sinless Lamb of God shed his blood and became a saving lamb. Christ became our Passover lamb. Let me ask you a question this Christmas season. Do you know what it is to have passed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to him as being the Savior of your soul, your hope for eternity? The old hymn puts it this way: "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" The Lamb was sacrificed in order to pay the price of our guilt. Let me take you to the end of your Bible now, to the book of Revelation. And I want you to see not only the Lamb in prophecy and the Lamb in history, but the Lamb in victory. The Apostle John has been caught up into heaven. He's given a glimpse of glory, and he sees the throne of God. And he's really overtaken by all that he sees and witnesses in this wonderful sight. And before him, he finds a book, a very special book, sealed with 7 seals. And we refer to it sometimes as the title deed of earth and heaven. It represents the right to rule. And as John sees this book, he also recognizes that there's no one who can break open the seals and read the book. No angel in heaven can open it. A search is made throughout the earth, And there's no politician, no king, no religious man, no artist, no scientist, no philosopher, no genius of any kind that can open the book. Search is made through the world under the earth, the nether world, and there's no devil in hell that can open it. And John begins to weep because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book. And an angel comes to him, one of the elders, and said unto him, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." The Lion of the tribe of Judah is able to open the book. And as John turns to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah, what does he see? He says, "I saw a lamb." Verse 6. "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb." You know what's interesting about this word lamb? It's what we call the diminutive. He didn't just see a lamb, he saw a little lamb. A little lamb. The word really means a pet lamb, a baby lamb. You remember back in Exodus, they had to take of the firstlings of the flock. And they were to keep it 4 days. It became a household pet to the little children. Well, it's the same word here, describing the Lord Jesus Christ. There stood a lamb, a little lamb. Now, what about this lamb? Well, we're told it was a slain lamb. He saw a lamb as it had been slain. It still bears the marks of the nails upon his body. The marks that our Savior received as he bore our redemption upon Calvary still mark his body in heaven. You remember when our Savior appeared to his disciples that he was able to say to Thomas, "Here's my hand. Put your finger within. Take your hand and put it in my side if you want." Even in heaven, the Lord Jesus still bears the marks, the forever marks. The hymn writer speaks of it being our names being engraved on the palms of his hands. They're the emblems of redemption that he bears forever. He's a lamb that had been slain, but look, we're told that he stood. He stood in the midst. He's a standing lamb. Though he laid down his life in death, the grave could not hold. He's standing today. He's making intercession for us. His standing speaks of the resurrection of the lamb. And he's a strong lamb. We're told that he had 7 horns. In the Bible, a horn is a picture of power. An animal would take its horns and ram and butt and gore and fight and conquest over one another. But here's a little lamb, but don't miss the horns. He has 7 horns. 7 being the perfect number, the emblem of perfect power is his. And he's full of eyes. The eyes speak of intelligence and omniscience. He sees and knows everything. He searches out the hearts of men. He knows exactly what you're thinking at this very moment. He sees every move that you make. And verse 7 tells us that he is the sovereign lamb. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. He took the book. And if any were to ask him, "By what right do you take this book?" he could say, "I have this right. I have the right of creation because I made it all. And I have the right of Calvary because I shed my blood to redeem it. And I have the right of conquest in that I was raised from the dead. And I have the right to take this book and to open it because I am that great I am." And we're told how they bowed before him and sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The Lamb of prophecy that came into this world in history, that reigns now in victory, is coming one day in majesty. He's coming in majesty. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, and strength and honour and glory and blessing. The only question I have for you this afternoon is this. Can you say with those who are the children of God that this Lamb is my Lamb, that he's my Saviour? He's the one who laid down his life for my salvation. Not enough to say that he was my father's Saviour, or my mother's Saviour, or my grandfather's Saviour, or my grandmother's Saviour. Can you say that he's my Saviour? Are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came? Are you looking to him for the salvation of your soul? Are you trying to get to heaven in your own strength, by your good works or your church attendance or your deeds of charity or any other earthly thing you hope to mention? None of those things will ultimately save you. There's only one way that God saved, and that was through the blood that was slain. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Can you say of the Lord Jesus Christ in his death that he died for me? Can you say that when he rose from the grave, that he rose for me? That when he ascended to heaven and to be at God's right hand, can you say that he has went there for me? And can you say that when he comes again, that he's coming for me to receive me unto himself and to take me to the Father's house to be with him for all eternity? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, is my Saviour. Can you say that this afternoon? That's my prayer for each and every one that's gathered here today, that you'll be able to say that the Lamb of God is my Lamb and my Saviour. May the Lord take these few thoughts and bless them to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.